Turn your tax refund into a new landscape with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Create stunning patios and build strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of beautiful concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, easily build and design your own raised garden beds with our garden block. On sale now. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards. Save big money
at Menards. Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on game day eve for the 2023 National Football League season on Football Full Circle here, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. Scott, we are now just one day out from the start of 2023 in the National Football League, the regular season debut on a Thursday night in Kansas City, inside Arrowhead Stadium at the home of the reigning Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. KC hosting Detroit as a 5.5-point favorite. The over-under 52.5. For an update, Scott, on Travis Kelce that explains the line movement and is the biggest storyline, more than likely, entering Thursday night's debut for the 2023 NFL regular season.
Yep. How about that? Took us one game, and really not even a game, to have our first like true impact injury on a potential contest that we're going to see obviously tomorrow night. So it's big thing, right? You got to bet Kansas City if Kelce doesn't play. I mean, I wouldn't. I don't know if I'd necessarily bet Detroit, but I know I wouldn't be betting Kansas City. That over under dropped 3 points from 55.5 to 52.5. Interesting, Ben, that the FanDuel anyway is still offering Travis Kelce props, and I'm always one to believe that they know more than anyone else and are faster than anyone else. So I'm thinking he's going to play if they're still offering those props, but you never know. But there you go. First game in, and we already have to, an injury that we have to really kind of delve into.
A welcome, by the way, to our Sirius XM audience here on Sirius XM, channel 159. You are listening to Football Full Circle. This is the home for Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. Now, Scott, I'm not seeing a Travis Kelce prop as I look at the sportsbook based in Indiana for the FanDuel sportsbook for his receiving yards number for Thursday night's debut. However, like you mentioned, they are listing an anytime touchdown prop on Travis Kelce. In fact, it's still the strongest odds of any player tomorrow night to find the end zone. It's -125. But Scott, it's not often, right, that a tight end or any position non-quarterback related will move a number in the National Football League. Yet here we are, where Travis Kelce is so significant, so important to what Kansas City wants to do offensively and as a team overall for their team success, that the potential of his absence of the regular season opener against Detroit has moved the number by a full point. It was 6.5 at this time yesterday in favor of Kansas City. Now just 5.5. And like you mentioned, the total a few points down as well, 52.5. Still the highest over-under, Scott, of the entirety of the week one slate as it is currently constructed. But a tight end, Scott, has that much impact on the numbers and the market movement for Thursday night's regular season debut.
Yeah, and I think in part, Ben, it goes back to what we've discussed before. I brought it up. This Kansas City wide receiving core is not exactly a who's who. I mean, and then you throw in Kadarius Toney might not play. He's questionable. But you're talking about Sky Moore and Marquez Valdez-Scantling as being your two main guys if Kelce doesn't play and then Toney doesn't play. I mean, that's not exactly like I think the guys in Vegas were all kind of counting out, all right, we'll deal with Toney and Scantling and Moore as long as we got Kelce. and that's his go-to guy anyway, right? But if you take that chip away, now it's like, wow, you know, as great as Pat Mahomes is, right, probably the best quarterback in the NFL, that's not exactly, like I said, a who's who of wide receivers that they're going to be throwing the ball to tomorrow night.
Right. It's a good point, right? We're not entirely sure who that lead target is going to be from a yardage perspective right now. Sky Moore, the second year receiver out of Western Michigan, has the highest number, 43.5. His rookie season was a little bit disappointing, but did catch a touchdown, of course, an impactful touchdown in Super Bowl 57. MVS, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, has that second highest number, only a yard behind Moore at 42.5. The highest receiving yards number now is Amon-Ra St. Brown for the game overall, 77.5. Of course, he's the lead target of Jared Goff and that Detroit Lions offense. The number yesterday, Scott, on Travis Kelce opened in the high 70s, 78.5, 79.5. Again, that number is no longer there. The number I am desperately waiting on, Scott Wetzel, is Justin Ross. If they post it for Kansas City, he was a guy that he shined throughout training camp. The former Clemson star who has dealt with a litany of injuries over the past few years in his football career. If Justin Ross has a number, I will be looking at it. I think he can be an impact player for KC's offense this year.
Yeah, I know a lot of guys are thinking this way, and I'm thinking this way, and I may bet it this way, but there's a part of me, you know, it's like the two devils, you know, the devil on the left side, angel on the right side, right? Part of me is saying, Ben, geez, you know, if Kelce doesn't play, somebody's got to be catching the football, right? Yeah. I mean, they're not going to be running the ball 30 times, so why don't we go over all these guys, whether it's Sky, 43 yards, Scantling, 42.5, you know, they can get that in one catch, for goodness sake, right? I mean, so why not play the over? But then, you know, I don't know. Andy Reid, they like to throw the ball all over the place anyway. You know, maybe, you know, Kelce does play. You know, they do have some props on him. Like I said, normally they would just take those down completely. Who wants to deal with, you know, having to refund people? Yeah. I don't know. It almost seems too good to be true, because if he doesn't play, these guys got to get at least 50 yards receiving, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Scott, you could look at Isaiah Pacheco. His rushing yards number for tomorrow night against Detroit is 51.5. Of course, he was monumental, instrumental for Kansas City in their Super Bowl run a year ago. 76 in a receiving touch or in a rushing touchdown against Philly in Super Bowl 57. 95 against Jacksonville. He went over 51.5 for the Chiefs in 9 of their final 10 regular season games, and did so comfortably in that span as well. Are they going to go to the ground more for Isaiah Pacheco without Travis Kelce if that is the update that we get? We know the update right now, Scott. He limped off the practice field yesterday. The belief is the ACL is intact. His status, though, uncertain, of course, for tomorrow night's debut. Scott, it's unfortunate timing, right? You get through cut day, you get through training camp, you get through preseason unscathed, and 48 hours before the opener, your most important offensive player outside of the quarterback position, that is Patrick Mahomes, goes down on the brink of the season starting.
Yeah. They only have two other tight ends on their active roster anyway, Noah Gray and Blake Bell. Kelce's only miss. I'll say this. If this dude can play, you know, if there's any real possibility, history says he will. Since 2014, I was reading on Pro Football Talk, Kelce's only missed three games, two because he just rested in Week 17 meaningless contest. So in reality, he's only missed one game, and that was because he was on the COVID list. So actual injury-wise, he's not missed a game since 2014. There aren't too many NFL players, Ben, that can put that on their resume. That is impressive. So if he can play at all, it seems like he would.
Yeah, and we'll see how that update comes out later today, the final day before the season begins. It is game day eve here as we get ready for 2023 in the National Football League. We'll continue to forecast a new season up next here on Football Full Circle, live on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are back live right here on FFC. It is Football Full Circle, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. Scott, we're talking about the season opener tomorrow night. We are just one day away from the start of 2023. And Scott, we're talking about Travis Kelce. Of course, the latest update on him is that his ACL is intact, but his status uncertain for Thursday night's debut after he was injured at practice on Tuesday afternoon. Scott, now, not entirely sure if Patrick Mahomes' favorite target will be out there, but we know Patrick is going to play. And he has been the starting quarterback for Kansas City each of the past five seasons now. Since the start of the 2018 campaign, the Chiefs' record under Mahomes, Scott, in September, 13-3. Patrick Mahomes' stats in week one opening games the last 5 years as a starter. Last year against Arizona, 360 yards, five touchdowns. 2 years ago, 337, three touchdowns. 3 years ago, 211, three touchdowns. The year before that, 378, three touchdowns. And in his debut as a starter, to really kick things off for the Chiefs in 2018, 256 and four touchdowns. He has thrown 18 touchdowns, Scott, in the last five regular season openers for Kansas City to zero interceptions. The props on Mahomes, by the way, for tomorrow, 285.5 is his passing yards number. The touchdown prop, 2.5, the over, has plus money.
Wow, that's, you know, the numbers that we're going to be able to, I tell you, one of the best times, fun times I had doing broadcasting was when I was doing an in-between periods and pre- and post-game show for the New York Islanders, Ben, with a buddy of mine. And L.A. and Wayne Gretzky was in town. So we opened up the program playbook and just rattled off all these stats, all these just crazy numbers about Gretzky and how far he is ahead of everybody else. It was just, you know, one thing after another. That's what it's going to be like with Mahomes, right? I mean, you mentioned in the first game, I'm sure when everything is said and done, there are going to be so many crazy stats, impressive stats by Mahomes that it's just, yeah, we're just going to stand back and just say, like, wow. So as far as, you know, tomorrow night, unless they really don't have Kelce, which is a possibility, do they really turn the ball over to Pacheco and run the ball? I kind of doubt it against that Lions defense. You know, if it was a better defense, maybe they would change up. But Pat Mahomes is not going to back down. And Kansas City and Andy Reid is not going to back down to the Detroit Lions. So I'm pretty confident in him getting at least 300 yards passing, unless it's a blowout and they don't have to. But I think the Lions will score as well. So over 285.5 passing yards with or without Kelce, he's going to get it. He's just going to get it.
I mean, the Chiefs' biggest question last year, right, was how would they replace the production of Tyreek Hill? They won a Super Bowl. They found their ways. They have one of the most brilliant offensive minds we have seen in the last 50 years in the National Football League, and Andy Reid leading the show. Of course, Eric Bieniemy, no longer the OC there. He's now in Washington. Matt Nagy takes the reins as the offensive coordinator in Kansas City, but of course worked under Andy Reid many, many a year. It's interesting to me, though, Scott, the timeline of this, right? You're not preparing at the end of training camp and in the early portion of what they would consider game week for the Chiefs playing on this Thursday to be without Travis Kelce. And Scott, literally, as I am speaking to you and I am staring at my computer screen and the FanDuel Sportsbook is up, they just took down Patrick Mahomes' passing yards prop before putting it back up at 285.5. I thought we might get some breaking news in that moment. Maybe not. But my point being, Scott, they've been playing with Travis Kelce as a part of their scheme and game plan for the past 10 days since the end of training camp, certainly since last Tuesday, and cut day was put behind them following the end of the preseason. A slightly compacted window as compared to the other 30 NFL teams that won't play until Sunday, and the Jets and the Bills playing on Monday night, of course, to end out week number one. What does now, if they have to get rid of Travis Kelce and he is not able to play this 48-hour window, look like for the Chiefs since the injury unexpectedly yesterday at practice to kick tomorrow night around 8 p.m. Eastern time in Kansas City? That would be my only hesitation, if you will, of backing Mahomes or other offensive props for the Chiefs, because what does the game plan look like on behalf of KC?
Yeah, and we're not mentioning, but Tony, too. You know what I mean? He would you figure to be a big part of their offense. Now, yeah. Obviously, they've got a heads up on him, you know, being involved in it or not. But that would be two pieces. You know, they got Noah Gray. He's not, you know, 28 receptions last year, a touchdown, nothing crazy. I'm not that familiar with Blake Bell. He's just a journeyman tight end. So it's a big drop, obviously, right? It's a big, big drop. But I just don't see them, you know, so are they going to run the ball on first down? Yeah, gain 3 yards. Second and seven, running teams would then run again. I got to see it to believe it that Kansas City's not passing on second and third down. Whether they get completions and move the ball down the field, that's to be determined. But I think they will with that Detroit defense, which was one of the worst in the NFL last year. I'm sure they're going to make some changes and be a little bit better this year. But to me, it's still the Lions. It's still the big stage. I'll take my chances on Mahomes. And if it doesn't happen, it's one of those bets, Ben, that I thought Kansas City was going to win. I'll put faith in them. If they don't win, I can live with myself. I bet on Kansas City. If I bet on Detroit and Kansas City wins, you know, 33-17, I'm saying to myself, what am I, nuts? I bet against the world champ. I bet against Mahomes on national TV with all those numbers Ben gave me on Sports Grid. What am I, crazy? Yeah. So which one can I live with? I can live with the Kansas City losing bet more than I can the Detroit losing bet.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, Scott. Does this really change things if it's 5.5? Do you feel like you got a better number on the Chiefs because it's now less than a touchdown, but more than likely you would still need a touchdown to cover unless it falls evenly at 6? Do you approach the total differently because you got 2 points of discount from a 54.5 number for most of this offseason and preseason? But you don't have Travis Kelce, a key cog of the offense, but it's still the highest total of week number one. I think it's just more representative, Scott, of the unique factor and player that Travis Kelce is, that a tight end moves the market multiple points as opposed to a quarterback, which is something we really only often see in terms of a market mover from a single position in NFL games. That's the interesting part. I don't know if this behooves you. It's not like the Chiefs were favored by 6.5 and now the line's 3.5. It's not like Patrick Mahomes is out and the Chiefs are now maybe favored on the money line, but it's a point spread in favor of whatever it might be, right? It's not that drastic a movement where I think there's a better bet, side or total. It's just the impact of how the game will be played, what the script looks like offensively for KC, and how Detroit defends it. Let's go to the other side, Scott, for the Lions. Obviously, a lot of focus on the Chiefs and Travis Kelce and his health, and rightfully so. They are the defending Super Bowl champions. But the Lions have expectations, Scott, we haven't seen in, what, probably 3 decades? They are favored to win the NFC North. They have not won a divisional title in the last 30 years since 1993. And yet they're still a 5.5-point, 6.5-point dog against Kansas City. If you focus on Jared Goff, Scott, I think this game individually could represent the entire season. Goff was 7th in the National Football League last year in terms of passing yards, in total over 4,300. His number is 256.5 for the opener tomorrow night against the Chiefs. Scott, I ask you it this way. How good does Jared Goff have to be once again in 2023 for the Lions to reach that mountaintop that is the NFC North Divisional Crown?
Well, I think he's got to be just as good, if not better, than last year, right? I mean, they got into a lot of shootouts. This guy came through. I think their philosophy probably changed a little bit with drafting Gibbs right in the first round and picking up David Montgomery, kind of did a wholesale change in their backfield. And to me, that means they're going to try and run the ball a little bit more. But ultimately, with that defense being as bad as it was last year, and I'm anticipating the same thing this year, I'm thinking he's got to have to, you know, have 30-plus touchdown passes. Couldn't ask for a better scenario, though, if you're the Lions. No Chris Jones tonight for KC, right? He's out, or tomorrow night, and then probably not Kelce. So if they can't win this game, they were never meant to win this game.
It's a really good point, Scott. It's a really good point. Let's not forget the Lions entering week number 18 in that regular season finale, the worst scoring defense in the NFL, allowing nearly 27 points per game. Part of the reason the total stands at 52.5. More on Football Full Circle coming your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are back live right here on FFC. It is Football Full Circle, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. So, Scott, we are on the eve of the first game day of the National Football League regular season in 2023. Tomorrow night in Kansas City, it's the Chiefs and the Lions. KC right now a 5.5-point favorite, the over under 52 and a hook. Scott, we'll probably get some season-long predictions before the opener tomorrow. We'll do that in our full 2023 forecast on the show tomorrow. But as we look at things, Scott, around the National Football League, and you scan some of the marquee matchups for the first full Sunday slate of the year, just 4 days away, which game, Scott, really catch your eye for that first full Sunday where 28 NFL teams will be in action?
Right at the top, you know, believe it or not, right after Detroit, Kansas City, San Fran at Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh, they're going to be one of my dark horses. You know, the AFC is loaded. The division is loaded. Everyone's talking about all the other teams. But I think, you know, if, you know, you say this about a lot of teams, but if Kenny Pickett could take that next step, their defense is as good as anybody's. They have weapons to throw the ball. They got a big-time running back. It's all about Pickett. Hard to ask a second-year player to step up and be the man, but if he can, I like that Steelers team. Love Mike Tomlin, like who doesn't? So Pittsburgh at home against the, you know, the team that's the odds-on favorite outside of Philadelphia to be in the NFL Super Bowl from the NFC. So San Fran versus Pittsburgh is interesting, especially with all the issues going on with San Francisco and their quarterback situation being thrown to the fire. You know, by Brock Purdy with Pittsburgh's defense. Let's see if he can pick up the magic that he had from last year.
Yeah, certainly so. Scott, I think when you look at both of these teams, we'll start with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Again, it's been well reported, 16 years under Mike Tomlin, the Steelers have never had a losing season. They've never won less than 8 games in a single season. In fact, Pittsburgh as an organization has not had a losing record since 2003 under Bill Cowher when Pittsburgh went 6-10. The win total for the Steelers, 8.5. The over has the hefty juice at -150. Scott, we were having a conversation on the new, the early line, myself and Donnie Wrightside, each and every morning on Sports Grid Radio, starting at 8 a.m. Eastern time, about what the best division in football is entering 2023. I think a lot of people would say from the notoriety and eyeball perspective, it's the AFC East, the Bills, the favorites, the Jets with Aaron Rodgers, the Dolphins, of course, can be explosive offensively if they can shore up the defense. And the seller is really never that much of a seller when Bill Belichick is still the head coach in New England. For my money, though, Scott, the AFC North is the best division in football. The Bengals, the favorites. The Ravens, not far behind. Then you have the Browns. There is optimism, although I don't think Cleveland's the third best team in this division. And the Steelers, if they are the basement, the floor ain't low. 8.5 is that win total. The over juiced at -150. Scott, that means the two worst teams in the AFC North, with the Browns having a win total of 9.5, the under a slight bit of juice. The worst teams in your division are still expected to have winning records at 9-8. So again, for my money, the best division in the National Football League entering 2023, that would be the AFC North.
Yeah, and it's funny, that's the one division, Ben, that I think anyway, that actually has some real rivalries. You know, the others, okay, you know, Kansas City, Denver, you know, Kansas City, the Raiders used to be great, but, you know, on a national basis nowadays, it really has. That's the one. I want to see Pittsburgh-Baltimore, even though it's usually 10-7. I want to see Cincinnati-Cleveland, even though those are actually usually shootouts. You know, you got some real good personalities in those divisions. You got good defenses. You got great offenses. And I think also it's the best division in football. Well, you know, whether record-wise at the end of the year it turns out that way, maybe not, because these teams are going to be beating up on each other. But from top to bottom, it wouldn't shock me. You know, it would shock me with the Browns just because it's the Browns. But it wouldn't shock me talent-wise if any of those teams end up going to the Super Bowl. Really wouldn't.
Yeah, the Browns have last won a division in the AFC North back in 1989, nearly 3.5 decades ago. I am cautiously looking at the Browns this year, Scott. I don't know what version of Deshaun Watson we are going to see. It's been a long time since we saw the player in Houston as their quarterback in 2019 and 2020. Just overall time and football time, especially the six-game sample size. I don't know if that's a fair assessment, truthfully, Scott, of what Deshaun Watson brings to 2023. The hope in Cleveland is it is not, and he just had to get his feet wet back in the NFL this year with a full offseason. He will be back. By the way, the reason he didn't play, of course, an 11-game suspension for multiple violations of the NFL's personal conduct policy brought on by Deshaun Watson's behavior only to himself. But that's the hope for Cleveland. I don't really care about it, though. I focus on the Pittsburgh Steelers being that third-best team. And, Scott, I'm optimistic that both the Ravens and the Bengals are going to be AFC postseason teams in this competitive conference. I still think Cincy, Scott, wins this division for what would be a third consecutive year. I know Joe Burrow didn't really get much run during this preseason as the football world held its breath at the end of July when Joe Burrow pulled up limp in that training camp practice for Cincinnati. I still think the Bengals are going to be there at the end of the year. Again, I mentioned it. We'll get to our preseason forecast right before the year gets underway tomorrow. But I have Cincinnati winning the AFC. I have Cincinnati winning a Super Bowl.
You know, that's where I'm leading. I had them winning last year. And it's amazing, Ben, when you start to think about it, you could probably count on one hand how many quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks in the NFL, we don't have serious questions about. And Burrow in Cincinnati is one of the few. You know, Mahomes of Kansas City, maybe Josh Allen, Buffalo. But all these other quarterbacks, there's all question mark. What are we really getting out of Deshaun Watson? Who knows? What are we getting out of Tua? Can he stay healthy? Who knows? Is Aaron Rodgers really going to be good at 40 years old? Who knows? Can Dak really, you know, be a better quarterback than he was last year? Who knows? Everyone, you know, Jared Goff, you know, is Jared Goff going to have the year last year or the year 2 years ago when he stunk? So Burrow in Cincinnati is one of the few guys that I don't have any doubts about at all. So I like that team. Like I said, I thought they were going to win last year. Thought they should have. Got a bad break at the end of the year. But they're loaded from top to bottom. So I think they're going to win that division as well.
Yeah, I still look at the Bengals being the class. I don't think the Ravens are all that far off, though, Scott. Plus 150 for Cincinnati. They are the favorites. Baltimore only 60 cents back at plus 210. Scott, by the time we got deep into offseason action, by the time we got into the early portions of training camp and preseason, you know, excluding any injuries, which didn't really happen all that much, mainly it was that potential concern around Joe Burrow's health that moved this market. Not many markets moved all that much except for the gap shortening just a tad between the Bengals at the top in front of the Ravens in the AFC North. Since he was a plus 130 number, plus 150 now again, not many cents added on, just 20. Baltimore shortened up to plus 210, only 60 cents of difference. I think the Ravens are going to be a playoff team, Scott. I think since he outpaces Baltimore to win the division, but I do think Baltimore will earn at least bare minimum one of those wild card spots in the AFC.
Yeah, I would think so too. Right? But there's going to be some good teams that we're thinking now absolutely is going to get in that might not get in. I mean, you don't have that many slots. You know, you got about 12 teams, you know, literally out of these that could fit into those slots. So somebody's not getting, whether it's Jacksonville. I personally think it is Kansas City. I've been saying that from the beginning. I think everything's gotten too great for them. And, you know, the Chris Jones thing and now the Travis Kelce thing is just kind of adding more fuel to my fire about Kansas City, you know, stumbling a little bit this year. So, but it's going to be a balanced, no doubt a balanced AFC. You know, outside of realistically Houston, Indianapolis, and that really might be it. I'd be, you know, a little surprised with the Raiders, but other than that, I wouldn't be shocked if any of those other teams made the postseason. Even New England. I think New England could be a halfway decent team. Another team with a quarterback, Mac Jones, going to take the next step.
Yeah.
AFC's loaded this year, as we say all the time.
No doubt. And Scott, that's also one of the reasons I think the AFC East is considered one of the best divisions in football and should be thought after in such a way. New England has a win total of 7.5, and the under has the pretty hefty juice. But the Patriots, even last year, disastrous across the board offensively, still found their way to 8 games. They were a 10-win team and a playoff team the year prior. Even in the first without Tom Brady, in the rotating cast and crew at quarterback, first spearheaded, of course, by Cam Newton, 7-10. Again, the floor is not incredibly low for the Patriots. And thus, that's why I think, Scott, New England has the hardest schedule based on Warren Sharp, Sports Grid's lead NFL analyst, win total projections, and how he used that to factor out the strength of schedule metrics. New England has the hardest schedule. In fact, all four teams in the AFC East have 4 of the 8 most difficult schedules in the National Football League this upcoming season. But I would not sleep on New England. I don't know if they're going to be a playoff team necessarily, but it's not like they're going to lose all 6 games in the division and they're going to be a team that finishes 4-3 that you can count as an automatic win each and every week. In fact, Scott, that opening game for the Pats at home in Foxborough on Sunday afternoon, now up to a 4-point spread in favor of Philadelphia. I don't know if it's going to represent the entire year, but I think it's a small glimpse of what the Patriots might be able to do if that game stays pretty close to that margin and the Pats proved to be a pesky side.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised it's only 4, to tell you the truth. I mean, Super Bowl, obviously Super Bowl run, Philadelphia, New England with all these question marks, and the Eagles are only a 4-point favorite. I figured that would be 6 or 6.5 by now. So maybe the boys in Vegas like the Patriots more than the public does.
Yeah, I mean, that would give us a pretty competitive one-score game at bare minimum, maybe within a single field goal if New England covers that number. More on Football Full Circle coming your way up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are back live right here on Football Full Circle. 1 day out from the start of the 2023 NFL regular season, the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs at home hosting the Detroit Lions inside Arrowhead Stadium. It's got 2 key absences potentially for KC. Travis Kelce injured at practice on Tuesday afternoon. His ACL is intact, which was a fear for the Chiefs on Tuesday, but his status uncertain. And on the other side, one of the best D linemen and defensive playmakers in the National Football League, Chris Jones, has not really been there in training camp. He's having a hold in, if you will, where he is trying to negotiate a long-term extension with Brett Veach and the rest of KC's front office to keep him in Kansas City for a long time. In the last 15 minutes or so, Scott, he met with the media in Kansas City saying, quote, "It's always been my goal to be a Kansas City Chief for life," end quote, out of the mouth of Chris Jones, as the Chiefs are now just about 32 hours away from their season opener in 2023. Scott, if you had to put the odds on it, which side would have the juice, the more likely outcome? The yes, that Chris Jones plays tomorrow night in the debut against Detroit, or the no, he's going to miss the opener against the Lions?
Oh, no, I'd be shocked if he played at all tomorrow. I mean, even if he signed sometime today, right, best case scenario, right? I mean, are they going to really throw him out there in an NFL game without any practice? Now, is he staying in shape? You'd like to think so, right? Yeah, sure, but, you know, not training camp shape. This guy's not been in camp and just, you know, saying, I'm not going to play. He's been away from the club. So I think they would be foolish if they came to terms sometime today or tomorrow and threw him out there. So, you know, I don't know how the people in Kansas City feel about this, but you know, nationally, very little sympathy for a guy who's set to make $20 million this year. Last year of his contract, and you know, the weird thing about it, Ben, is he got paid $80 million, 4-year, $80 million deal 4 years ago, right? So this is the last year, and that was after his rookie deal. So this $20 million that he's going to make this year, or would be making this year, is a big jump up from the salary he made last year. Last year, he only made about $4 million. So while I get he wants another huge payday, he is getting a huge payday. I mean, he signed a four-year deal, $80 million. You play, you're only 29. He's coming off a career year. I could see where Kansas City saying, no, you know, we paid you, and you had a nice year last year, 15 and a half sacks, but we got another year under your contract. It is what it is. We could franchise you in the following year if we really wanted to. You know, back to the franchise tag. There really is no leverage for the player who's holding out, knowing he could just get franchised the following year. But again, $20 million is a lot of money. You're not going to get that much sympathy from fans, I don't think, saying you don't want to play for $20 million.
Yeah, it's all, listen, everything, regardless of what position, running back, O-lineman, quarterback, tight end, defensive lineman, everything is about relative value. Chris Jones currently, with that four-year deal worth $80 million, 20 mil on annual average salary, is the ninth highest paid defensive tackle in the National Football League. Scott, by no means would I think any Kansas City Chief fan or any NFL or any football fan say that Chris Jones is the ninth best defensive tackle in the National Football League. Aaron Donald is the best. He makes the most. It's $31.6 million. Quinnen Williams just got paid this offseason. He has the second highest annual average salary at $24 million a year. Jeffrey Simons for Tennessee, $23.5 million. Deron Payne and Dexter Lawrence in a tie for the fourth best to round out the top five, each at 22 and a hook. So that's what I think Chris Jones is pointing at, saying these guys are not better than me. I'm asking to be paid what my value is, not what I signed back for in 2018, but what I signed or what I can sign for now and what my value is to you now. That is where I take Chris Jones' side, or at least understand the perspective that players take. Relative value for a guy that should be, as he is, paid to represent the fact he is one of the three or five best, at bare minimum, defensive tackles in the National Football League.
I get it, but, you know, all those teams also have big-time quarterbacks, you know, but are they making the amount of money that Pat Mahomes makes? No, you know, I mean, you can't just... I know logically the guy is saying I'm not the ninth best, like you're saying, you know, top two, three, four, five, whatever you want to be, so I should get paid like that. Well, you know, then there's other ramifications to that. Some of those guys are on lousy teams, or some of those guys are on teams that have rookie quarterback deals, that they don't have this other money expended somewhere else. I mean, so it's all the big picture. Play one more year, Chris. You know, just, you're making $20 million, the most you've ever made in a year by far. Listen, the guy had 15 and a half sacks last year. That's a good amount. To me, man, he's the quintessential. If you get a sack a game, you're going to be rich. Right, the guy averaged 2.5 tackles a game, and that includes the sacks. So he's really averaging about 1.5 more tackles. That's it for the entire game. I mean, I know defensive tackles are supposed to be big and fat and take double teams. I get that. But, you know, if I'm the Kansas City Chiefs, I'll find someone else who's big and fat, Chris. I'm sorry, you know, you're not the linebacker. You're not making 150 tackles a year. You're not the defensive back shutting down defensive wide receivers and making 3, 4, 5, you know, 8 interceptions. You're a defensive tackle who gets one sack a game, and that's basically it. That's it. I'm not, you know, take your $20 million. If that's not good enough for you, see you later. I'll find somebody else who can stand there.
Yeah, you know, I just think that it's difficult to kind of correlate that to a defensive tackle, somebody that plays in the interior, because Chris Jones was fourth in the National Football League last year, tied fourth alongside Matthew Judon for the Patriots with 15 and a half sacks. The next defensive tackle to have anything near that was 12 for Quinnen Williams. When you're not coming off the edge, the fact that you can rack up 15 and a half sacks is a very, very large number. Yeah, did he not have many tackles outside of that? For sure, but 17 tackles for losses as well. Chris Jones is a game breaker. He had four passes defended as well. He forced two fumbles a season ago. I think we see it with Aaron Donald. We see it with guys on the interior, Scott, that the edge rushers are known for their sacking ability. You have to contain and completely change your offensive scheme for somebody that can provide that much of an interior rush, and that's what Chris Jones does. Listen, it's the organizational standpoint to say here are all the things that we have to deal with We still want to get you paid, Chris. We want to respect you. We want to show you where we think you are from a value perspective. But there's a lot of other outstanding things. Chris Jones takes the individual approach and saying, hey, I'm not the ninth best defensive tackle in the National Football League. I'm probably second or third. I might even be in the running with Aaron Donald. I need to be paid that much. Chris Jones was also asked, Scott, if a deal gets done, how soon can you be back on the field? Chris Jones telling Nate Taylor, the Chiefs beat writer for The Athletic, if a deal gets done, I can be out there tomorrow. Again, we see this often, right, Scott? We saw it with the Ravens on draft night. We saw it with the Chargers on the opening day of training camp. When there's a timeline, when there's a specific date in the National Football League, things that sit idle for a moment get done with pretty good haste. Could a deal get done in the next few hours that Chris Jones could be at practice today or at least a part of the defensive meeting room? How effective would he be? I'm not sure, but it is interesting, of course, to hear that from Chris Jones. Could be a leverage move, but at least it's a way for him to say, hey, I'm ready to go as soon as we ink this deal, if at all possible.
Yeah, you know, I got to see it to believe it. I think that's his way of saying, you know, maybe yeah. just kind of eking out, I'm going to show up. Is he going to miss a paycheck? You know, it goes against everything he's fighting for, right? He's fighting for more money, but then he's going to sit out and lose $1 million plus, you know, because he's paid, you know, $20 million, 17 games, and basically going to be paid $1 million a game, right? He's really going to forfeit $1 million because he wants even more money? I kind of doubt it. You know, whatever happened to Ben, you know, I'm old school, but I don't know. You know, he didn't sign an 8-year deal that's completely outdated. He signed a 4-year deal, you know, 3 years ago. He made great money at that time. It's still good money. He's still top 10 being paid. Whatever happened to just, I signed on a dotted line. I owe a commitment to the Kansas City Chiefs. They've been good to me. We won Super Bowls. We've been successful. I'm on a good team. You know what? I committed at KC for 4 years, so I'm going to live up to my commitment. I want a new contract. I've told them that. I tried. You know, I threatened. Didn't work. But ultimately, I signed on a dotted line. I have one more year. It, like I said, it wasn't an 8-9 year crazy contract. I just have to live up to what I signed on. But whatever happened to that responsibility?
Yeah, you know, it's a good point, Scott, and it's a fair perspective to bring to this entire conversation. There's a lot of things, there's a lot of variable factors obviously at hand. We'll see what the ultimate conclusion is for Chris Jones. There's a couple of pass rushers who might not be there week number one. Still uncertainty for Nick Bosa in the San Francisco 49ers. Of course, Nick Bosa led the National Football League in sacks last year, 18 and a half. Brian Burns for the Carolina Panthers, maybe one of the more underrated pass rushers that you don't think of often, with the likes of Micah Parsons and Myles Garrett and Chris Jones and Nick Bosa, of course, and Joey Bosa and Hassan Reddick. Well, he had 12 and a half sacks last year, tied for eighth most in the National Football League. Frank Reich spoke about his availability for the Panthers' week one opener on the road in Atlanta, a crucial divisional game from the jump where Carolina's a 3.5-point dog in the ATL, saying he hopes Brian Burns is out there on Sunday, but that's stuff that's above his pay grade. It's all of that, Scott, where during training camp in July, early August, you're like, I don't really care. Hopefully it gets done. Want that guy out there, of course. Want him to be happy. Want the organization to benefit. Yada, yada, yada. Now the first week of September, the first game week of the year, that oil gets cooked up a little bit. That heat rises a little bit, and that is where the intensity builds. Scott, there were some interesting comments made yesterday, by the way, from Sean Payton, of course, the new head coach in Denver. It's been an interesting, if you will, relationship so far, it seems, with Sean Payton and his new quarterback, Russell Wilson, in terms of trying to turn around the situation and get the Broncos to bounce back. In an interview with Seth Wickersham of ESPN, Sean Payton, I think, said this a little bit in jest. You need the context of it, but just his mentality that he wants for Russell Wilson this year. The quote, though, Scott, reads like this. Will you effing stop kissing all the babies? You're not running for public office. Really, what I think Sean Payton is saying, Scott, and I'll get your 2 cents in a second, I want you to focus on football, being the best quarterback you can be, on the wins and losses, and making this team the best it can be, not your persona off the field. But Scott, what do you make? What's your reaction to the words from Sean Payton, who's had a couple of noteworthy quotes this offseason?
Yeah, whether it's with him or the former head coach, right? Yep. That's a little weird, you know? This guy's been around a long time. He knows what he's saying, knows what he's doing. He's had success. And it's not a head coach. You know what's weird about it for me, Ben, is he's not coming from an organization in New Orleans where he didn't have complete control. He did. He's acting like a head coach who is finally in a position to be able to run the show. They paid me all this money, and I'm finally out from under the grasp of, you know, pick a team or a general manager. And he's just, like, fighting out. I mean, I don't know. You're calling out your quarterback? To me, it's a sign of maybe things are that desperate in Denver. I was on Denver this year, but I'm beginning to wonder with these comments.
Me too, Scott. Me too. I was on Denver because I thought there would be a bounce back because I believe in Sean Payton as a head coach. I don't think Russ is going to be as bad as he was a season ago. And the defense is good, but some offensive worries for sure. We'll round out Football Full Circle up next on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are back for just a few more moments live right here on Football Full Circle. The first game day of the year, Scott, is tomorrow in the National Football League regular season for 2023. We'll preview the Chiefs and the Lions' latest updates on Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, everybody involved in the action. We'll give you our futures forecast for the entirety of the season as well. Conference picks, Super Bowl matchup, all of that and more in store for you tomorrow. But Scott, quickly here, let's finish with some college football. After we got off the airwaves yesterday here on FFC, the new AP poll was released following week number one. Florida State on the rise into the top five, now ranked fourth in the country after their shellacking of LSU on Sunday. The Bayou Bengals were fifth overall. They're down to number 14. But Scott, Duke ranked for the first time since 2018, 21st in the country in prime time. Enters the AP poll as well. Colorado ranked 22nd overall. Scott, we didn't have a chance to get your reaction to what Colorado pulled off against TCU. What do you make of this start for the Deion Sanders era in Boulder?
Wow, I got to tell you, I've been watching college football for a long time. I cannot remember another team whose expectations were so low. They had one of the lowest, anyway, 2.5 win total to win one game, not 4, 5, 6, and not like Kansas last year, to win one game and then be ranked that next week. That you talk about just a complete change. I watched a lot of that game. Listen, their offense is legit. His son, the quarterback, I mean, throwing for 500 yards, that kid can throw. He could be playing anywhere. The wide receiver, the little running back, I mean, absolutely great. Defense, they're going to lose some shootouts. So they got some work on defense, but I think it was great what they did.
Oh, you mean the worst scoring defense in college football last year, Scott, that gave up 44.5 points per game, that still allowed 42 to TCU and 541 yards of total offense? That same Colorado team that's now a 2.5 point favorite in their home opener against Nebraska after they were an 8.5 point dog? Yeah, that would be that Colorado team. More Football Full Circle tomorrow, starting at noon Eastern time on a Wednesday on Sports Grid Radio.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only. Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
"I found nirvana! I win!"
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $365 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.